Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Howdy, and welcome to Wiki Shuffle.
You might need to be a bit louder.
Howdy, and welcome to Wiki Shuffle. Is that better? Can you hear me?
Hopefully.
Live from Syria.
How offensive.
We've encountered a little problem. Not quite Syrian in its levels.
To be honest, it is, because I couldn't park right outside the office. I had to walk a little while because of these roadworks that are going on. I'm not sure if you can hear them. Have a little listen. Yeah, so we can't record an episode today. So, Phil, what are we going to do?
I would describe the conditions as non-conducive.
Non-conducive. The window's closed. The window is closed.
We are bunkered in. We thought maybe that the roadworks outside of WikiShuffle HQ, maybe they wouldn't impact us. To be honest, I didn't think they were starting until tomorrow, so it's kind of my fault.
It is your fault. We could have done this yesterday.
But we didn't.
We didn't.
We've taken the executive decision that we can't record a podcast under these conditions.
No.
Luckily for you, we do have... sat in reserve an emergency podcast for circumstances just like this.
We do, and we recorded this quite a few months ago now.
It must have been about January time that we recorded for should we ever not be able to record a podcast for reasons of infirmity or emergency, and we're going to have to crack that one out this week.
Say these sentences faster, I can hear that truck rip. Oh shit.
So we're just going to hit play on our reserve episode, our emergency episode.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was very good, but you can listen to it anyway. Enjoy.
Can you remember what it was even about?
I can't think.
I remember we made some predictions on what the world will be like when this episode is released. And I can't remember what they were, so I'll be interested to listen back. I don't know if I'm shouting. I can't work out if I'm shouting. I'm really close to the mic, and... I can't hear myself think, so I'm sorry if this is really loud. I'm sorry if it's too quiet. Yeah. This is why we're releasing an emergency episode.
Exactly. We were prepared for exactly this kind of eventuality. And thanks for bearing with us.
When are these... Is this going to take how long?
This is forever now.
This is forever. Can we assure the listeners we'll have an episode next week?
We can. 4 days, they say. So we finish by Thursday. So if we record next weekend, we will have another episode for you.
Okay. What if you live here?
I do. That's the problem.
Being mad. You're going to go mad.
I'm going to go a little bit mad. Enjoy our emergency episode. Normal service will resume with a lovely, freshly laid road outside WikiShuffle HQ. That'll be nice.
Come and see.
Yeah, new pedestrian crossing, everything. Which actually makes it more difficult to get here from my house.
Let's just play our bonus episode, our emergency episode, and we'll see you next week with something a little less noisy.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hello and welcome to WikiShuffle. I'm Jack. I am joined by Chris.
Hello.
And Phil.
Hello.
And this is a special episode because this episode is an emergency episode. You're hearing this because for whatever reason, we've not had time to record an episode this week. Something has gone wrong. We're recording this in February 2016. We may never need to use this episode. Hopefully we won't. But if you are hearing this... what could have happened? One of us ill, maybe. One of us is ill. Maybe one of us has died.
I've just not gotten out of bed.
Maybe you've gone missing again and we can't get you out of bed in time.
That's possible. Natural disaster. Let's not rule out the possibility of a natural disaster.
Tsunami.
I mean, it's unlikely. I don't think Northamptonshire is high on the list. Yeah.
The North Northamptonshire area is probably the lowest tsunami risk in the entire world.
Yeah.
Super volcano.
again.
Could be.
I'm not. It's probably not going to. It's more likely that you haven't got out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to be that. But it might be that he hasn't got out of bed because he's died. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and we have posted on Twitter with some tragic thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep this light, though. I mean, we're not going to be really mournful and depressed.
I wouldn't like that.
It's probably best that we don't include a sort of eulogy for each of us.
We can.
Well, that would cover all bases, wouldn't it?
Chris, yeah, we could do.
Died as he lived.
Tragically.
You said it. So, what we're going to do is a couple of wiki shuffles as normal. We're going to press the random article button
as
on Wikipedia.
Normal. Everything
as
is
normal.
Fine.
Yeah. Everything's fine.
Just go about your business. Just because we're having a tough time doesn't mean that you have to.
What else could have happened? Hey, and we don't. This is February 2016, so we don't know anything that's happened in the future. Maybe Leicester City won the Premier League.
And you've gone on a bender.
I've gone on a bender.
A massive bender.
Okay. Maybe the Queen is dead. Hooray! Maybe the world has ended.
I think Acast would shut down.
Probably would shut down. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Who knows? Maybe we'll schedule this for release and the world will end between now and a scheduled release and it will release to nobody.
Just like What's-His-Face from The Road. Just him
and
his son listening to it on the podcast and being really sad about it.
Well, let's try and cheer them up then, eh?
Maybe Leonardo DiCaprio's won an Oscar.
Nah,
stupid.
You know, I tell you what, if I was advising Leonardo DiCaprio on how to win an Oscar, I'd probably recommend that he took on some better roles.
You know what? That's not a bad shout. The Revenant, if you're just grunting and climbing inside dead horses.
Yeah, yeah, you don't get an Oscar for that.
He shouldn't.
Not that I'm suggesting that people haven't won completely undeserved Oscars in the past. Shakespeare in Love was the best film of whatever year that was.
And that year was a classic year for cinema. Like, there was loads of great films out there. I think that was, like, was that Fargo year, perhaps?
Nobody's watched Shakespeare in Love since then. No, it's not cropped up on anybody's radar.
Hey, keeping it focused. Emergency episode.
Emergencies.
Emergencies. Ninor. I might put some
kind of... Do you do Ninor? Ninor.
What would you
do? I would do Ninor as well, but I think some people do... Yeah. What's the Italian one that's really good?
The Italian one.
The Italian siren is like...
I know the one you mean. It's hard to vocalise it. I'm just saying words now.
Yeah, you're not even saying words, really.
It's an emergency.
Yeah, this is... Hopefully this never sees the light of day. But if it does, hello, welcome. We're going to do some wiki shuffles right now.
John Franklin. Rear Admiral Sir John Franklin, KCH, FRGS, RN... Lived from the 16th of April 1786 to the 11th of June 1847.
Are we just going to gloss over those letters?
What do those letters mean?
I don't know.
KCH, FRGS, RN. KCH.
Kentucky Chicken Herder.
Okay. Mm.
Frogs.
Frogs, yeah, FRGS, frogs. And then RN.
Registered Round. Nurse, I think.
Oh.
Interesting. So we're gonna learn about Sir John Franklin's chicken herding with frogs as a registered nurse.
Sounds right.
Doesn't though, does it?
I don't know anymore.
Stop thinking about what might have happened to us. We're probably fine. We're probably...
I'm a little bit worried. But then if we're releasing an emergency episode, we can't be dead because then we would just stop the podcast.
We can't all three of us be
dead. Realistically, we would just stop the podcast. We could all three of us be dead because sometimes we are in the same car together.
Yeah, but no, if that was the case, nobody would be listening to this.
Oh, because no one would be able to release it.
Mm. So we're definitely not all three
of
us.
Okay, so that's good. At least one of us is alive.
And thinking about it, let's just say something really tragic has happened and me and you have died, Jack. Phil, you're the last remaining member of Wiki Shuffle.
Would I release the emergency episode? Would it be a fitting epitaph?
I think, no, I, can we agree that if one of us dies, we'll release this emergency episode as our last episode?
As a fitting epitaph.
Before we get our replacement.
Yeah, while we regroup. Yeah, I think that would be fitting. Okay. So try and, you know, on top of your game, everybody. But more likely is that somebody's lost a recording and it's the day before we're due to release and it's all gone a bit wrong.
But fingers crossed.
Most of drama lies in the expectation, so...
I feel like I'm the one that's going to... I'm going to die.
I've always had a weird sort of feeling that you're going to die young. I don't mean young like 28. I mean, you know, before 50. I don't know why. Might be all the smoking and drinking. That might be the reason.
So let's just make this the best it can be, the best of me, so that everyone listening can remember whoever it is that's died fondly.
I'm not in the mood
to do it well.
I'm like, well, now if I'm dead, does it matter if my podcast is not that good?
It matters to me.
If you're still alive. Me and you might have died at my career. Oh, Jesus Christ. We can't let that happen. We can't have just Chris left.
So we should take measures to never be in the same room together unless absolutely unavoidable.
Yeah, definitely never on the same flight.
I will destroy the podcast.
Oh, we know. That's why we're having this conversation.
John Franklin! Chicken herder, frog, registered nurse. None of that's true. He was a British Royal Navy officer and explorer of the Arctic.
Ooh.
Franklin also served... Cold?
Yes, Chris.
What I love about what we do on WikiShuffle is that we really peel back the layers on these stories, don't we? We really get to the heart of the matter. Of investigative journalism at its best. The Arctic. Cold.
Someone's got to do it. I'm doing it for the people, Phil.
I know.
You're not really a bit dim. You're just making sure that everyone is along for the ride with us.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just dragging them through with me.
Wink, wink.
Franklin also served as Lieutenant Governor of Van Diemen's Land, now Tasmania, from 1837 to 1843. There's an engraving, I think that is, of John Franklin accompanying the article. That's not the most masculine pose I've ever seen. Which is fine, I'm not criticising him for that, but I can't imagine any military person of today wanting to be depicted in that rather camp stance. He's what I would describe as teapotting.
Yes.
Short and stout. Franklin was born in Spilsby in Lincolnshire in 1786 and educated at King Edward VI Grammar School in Louth. He was the ninth of 12 children born to Hannah Weeks and Willingham Franklin. Oh, if I have a son, I'm calling him Willingham. That's brilliant,
isn't
it?
It is good, isn't it?
Willingham Franklin, like it.
Phil, I don't mean this in a bad way.
That means he's going to say something bad.
No, it's not. But... Do you have any
really bad?
Do you have any posh in you?
No,
because you come across as a bit of a country gentleman, and certainly your dress sense is very prim and proper. You curtsy to everyone when you enter a room and leave a room.
I do. The amount of cutlery that I use for every meal is preposterous.
Well, that's true. So what happened then? Born and raised in Kettering, yeah.
Rothwell,
and you've ended up like posh.
I don't know that I'm posh.
You're not posh, but you're
posher than us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're going to set the bar that low...
We were born and raised in Corby. You know, everyone's posh.
Okay, I just wanted to check, because like you've got paintings here that look like something out of a stately home, apart from that one, which is a sexy Pokemon that was drawn by a listener, but it fits in quite nicely. You know,
I just appreciate the finer things in life, and I'm just very socially mobile.
Okay.
All right. Like us, we had that posh McDonald's that time.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm not posh. I come from a family of shopkeepers.
Now that you say that, you do kind of come across as a grocery shop man as well.
Anything oldie-worldy, really. Just muddled together, that's how I come across.
I think that's it. It's like an amalgamation of all of the Charles Dickens characters.
You have like a massive top hat and like a pocket watch. And I'm like a street urchin.
You are like a street urchin.
Franklin participated in several historic voyages and naval battles, including the Battle of Copenhagen in 1801, an expedition to the coast of Australia on HMS Investigator, good name, with his cousin by marriage, Captain Matthew Flinders. He was in the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, aboard the HMS Bellerophon, and the Battle of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He also accompanied Captain Dance on the East India
Company. Oh my god, Captain Dance. He's the coolest guy around. If you're going to go to India with one guy, it's got to be Captain Dance.
Yeah, without a doubt. Shuffling his way onto the battlefield.
Sorry, what's his name?
Captain Dance.
Just doing a social experiment there.
Because you said Captain Dance.
I went for Dance because and you both went for Dance.
It's because we are working class boys.
I think I do alternate between bath and bath and grass and grass, which is apparently something that happens in this part of the country. Because we straddle the north and south that we kind of choose between.
Yeah.
But... between the three of us there, I went for Dance.
I did notice, and I was going to make fun of you, but I let it slide. Which is what Captain Dance loves to do.
What?
Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Crisscross. Everybody clap your hands.
That's enough.
Sorry.
Captain Dance.
Got carried away a little bit.
What dance was it that you were describing there?
That was
Cha-Cha Slide.
Cha-Cha Slide.
Slide to the left.
The guy. Who's the guy? Cha-Cha Slide. You know. Oh, let's have a look then. This is a terrible episode. I hope this never sees the light of day.
This is why it's awful. I'm quite relaxed with this one, though.
Yeah, there's no pressure for this to be good.
No pressure.
People are expecting shite, so. DJ Casper.
DJ Casper.
The friendly DJ.
So he was with Captain Dance on the East India Company ship, the Earl Camden, frightening off Admiral Linois at the Battle of Pulo Ora in the Straits of Malacca on the 14th of February, 1804. Valentine's Day. How did you spend Valentine's Day? Scaring off Admiral Linois in the Battle of Pulo Ora? In 1819, Franklin was chosen to lead an expedition overland from Hudson Bay to chart the north coast of Canada, eastwards from the mouth of the Coppermine River. On his 1819 expedition, Franklin fell into the Hayes River at Robinson Falls and was rescued by a member of his expedition about 90 metres downstream. That's not that far downstream.
No.
He just got a bit wet. I'm not sure that's I'm not sure that that's noteworthy enough. Fell in a river. I mean, yeah, we did get about 15 minutes worth of content out of the time that Jack fell in the cesspit, but
distant memory at this stage.
Between 1819 and 1822, he lost 11 of the 20 men in his party.
Not a good boss.
That's not effective
lost
management.
Lost as in
is
they
it?
Died, or lost as in just they got lost?
Most died of starvation.
Okay, so they died.
It implies that they died. But there were also at least one murder and suggestions of cannibalism. Ouch.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you would, wouldn't you?
Of course you would.
I wouldn't mind.
I mean, I'd mind. I would definitely mind. But needs must sometimes.
Yeah, I'd eat both of you fucks. First chance I get.
Harsh. I mean, the name calling was unnecessary.
Exactly. And first chance he gets.
Yeah,
it's not even like...
That's now. Technically, this is your first
chance. No, I need one of
now.
You to be indisposed so I can focus on the other without like having to fight two people off, because in reality, I'm not a good enough fighter to fight off. Probably one... I'll have to put some drugs in you.
You don't have to. You don't have to do that.
I know, but if I want to do this, then I'm going to have to...
Stop looking at me and licking your lips.
Seriously, though, you look tasty.
I am corn-fed. I am corn-fed.
Yeah. You're fed on some good stuff. You're a bit of a classy individual when it comes to food. You eat your whatever it was.
Hummus. It was gnocchi. It's gnocchi. Not that weird.
Sure it wasn't.
I just eat crisps.
You eat crisps and drink beer and that's it. You wouldn't taste great.
Nah, I probably wouldn't.
You would taste like a pub, like a really bad pub in an estate. A pub with a flat roof. That's what your body would taste like.
I'm not going to deny it.
Whereas Phil probably tastes like...
He's very much Waitrose.
You would taste like Waitrose. And that's a good taste. So you're first.
Whoever dies first is first. We're going to let natural causes take
I'm really sad now, Phil.
Wait, so you're saying that one of us has to die. You wouldn't offer your body up.
Before
if we were,
I died.
If all three
we're
of us were
starving.
We're on the side of a mountain. We're famished. It's been 8 hours since
it's been
ate.
20 minutes.
You know, I've got some Nando sauce in my bag.
Of course.
Are you saying you wouldn't offer yourself up? We've got a fire going already, so we can roast chunks.
That's exactly right. You've got to wait until I die of natural causes, at which point you have to make sure I'm dead. I can't just be sleeping.
Oh, we'll make
sure. I want a second opinion. You both have to agree that I'm
dead. Don't worry about me.
No, come on.
Yeah.
It's this man
if you're
that
starving,
needs to worry about.
If you're starving.
I think I will be clubbed over the head within 5 minutes of the plane crashing.
You see, the thing is, in this scenario where the three of us are on the side of a mountain, Jack's going to be the one to die first. Because because Chris and I are going to be more than happy to eat like bits of moss and things that we find. But you will not touch anything green. So we will keep ourselves alive. Admittedly, it's not going to be fun. I'm not going to enjoy it. But we're going to live longer than you because you're going to starve to death because you've run out of Twinkies.
I'm not eating any grapes.
We might be on the side of a Twinkie mountain.
In which case, we're all fine, and the whole argument doesn't matter.
We're not fine.
Well, no. Fine is an exaggeration, but still, we don't have to eat each other, which is preferable. In any scenario, it's not having to eat one another is preferable.
I don't think we've had a resolution. Phil, we're going to eat you. There you go.
I don't know.
Settled.
I think we just gang up on him.
No! Yeah. What have I done?
Well, and I'm trying to be polite about this. But purely from a logistical point of view, there's more of you. So, you know, if we've got to lose one of the three of us, by losing you, it keeps the other two alive longer.
Mm.
So it's most efficient for you to be the one to go.
Are you saying that I'm the fattest member of Wikishuffle?
There's not a lot in it, I'll admit.
we're none of us are going to win any awards for being not fat fucks.
Do they offer those out?
In the Not Fat Fuck Award. We're not going to get an invite.
That's a good award.
I'd love to get a Not a Fat Fuck Award. I'd love it.
But yeah, but you're the tallest.
I am.
You've got the biggest hands.
It's not that difficult, is it, Jeremy Beadle?
I do most like a bit of finger meat. If I'm
I would eat my own fingers. If it came down to it. Hopefully it doesn't.
I don't think that would work. There's got to be a...
Ooh, wow.
I mean, yeah, you could. I'm not saying you couldn't do it, but I feel as though the trauma and the repairing would cost you more calories than you would gain from eating it.
Yeah.
Because it's incredibly...
We're quite wildly off topic here.
It's all right. It's an emergency.
Should we just cancel the whole Wiki Shuffle thing and just talk about like
it's
fingers.
An emergency. All bets are off.
If we were on this plane crash thing, though, I'd just kill myself.
You'd just kill yourself. Oh, well, problem solved.
Just jump off the mountain.
But what if you don't die?
No, we can't eat you if you're down the bottom of a ravine.
Yeah, that's
Chris.
Selfish.
Don't be so selfish.
That is selfish. That is the one case of...
I can't hang myself because there's no trees.
Where are you? What do you mean there's no trees? Why have you decided there might be trees?
Twinkie Mountain.
You can get trees on a mountain, you know.
What would be most useful from our point of view is if you could kind of skewer yourself through the mouth and all the way down your body with a long sort of spit. If you could offer yourself that way, that would be the most helpful for us, and then we could just load you straight onto the fire.
Oh, that'd be cool, and then we could just tear chunks off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like kebab skewers in a kebab shop. Slowly spinning around like the big chunk of disgusting grey meat that he is. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm genuinely hungry.
I was actually thinking...
I'm salivating.
Can we go to McDonald's later?
Yeah, we can. Let's finish this article.
Anyway, between 1819 and 1822, he lost 11 of the 20 men in his party. Most died of starvation, but there were also at least one murder and suggestions of cannibalism. The survivors were forced to eat lichen, which there is no way you would do that, Jack. There is no way that you would do that. So we'd be fine. We'd just eat the lichen. Lichen. How do you pronounce that? Lichen. And even attempted to eat their own leather boots. This gained Franklin...
Cow.
Yes.
Yes, Chris.
And even attempted to eat their own leather boots. This gained Franklin the nickname of the man who ate his boots.
It's not
sure, but it's good.
Yeah.
The man who ate his boots. Brilliant.
Like, leather.
Would you eat your shoes before all like moss and stuff?
Probably.
As a vegetarian?
Yes.
You'd just think, fuck the vegetarianism, I'm on the side of a mountain, I'll enjoy these boots.
Yeah, definitely. Then my vegetarianism would not last long at all.
What if there was some like wild gnocchi on the side of the mountain?
Rooming wild.
I feel like you don't know what gnocchi is.
It's like potato or something, isn't it?
It is. It's just lumps of potato goo. Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I know. It's a long time ago, though, because we're releasing this in 2019.
But quite possibly.
It's weird. We might listen to this and think, we've totally changed.
Well, two of us might listen to it and think that, the other...
We'll
be being eaten while we're listening to
them. Just listen back and think, oh, I really miss Jack.
Yeah. But he is delicious. Pass the ketchup.
He's tasty.
Yeah, my vegetarianism would go out the window lickety-split. Why do I say these things? Why do I talk this way?
Because you're a prospector from, from the late 1800s in the Wild West.
Marriage and third Arctic expedition. So that happens to you, fair enough. You weren't expecting it. Bad shit's gone down. It's all gone a bit shit. You've eaten your shoes, your favourite Reebok pumps. And you do that. You get out of it. You survive. You've got a nickname, which is a bit stupid. The thing you don't do is ever any more exploring.
Yeah, I'd be done then.
That, I'm going to stay home. I don't care what I have to do. In 1823, after returning to England, Sir John Franklin married the poet Eleanor Ann Porden. Their daughter, Eleanor Isabella, was born the following year. Eleanor Sr. died of tuberculosis in 1825. Being alive in any time in history, that's not fun, is it?
No.
TB just stalking you. Mm. Everywhere you turn, just TB.
Yeah, like Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge. Sad.
Is that what she dies of in Moulin Rouge? Yeah. I wouldn't know because I died of boredom before that film ended. Jesus Christ, what's the point? Now I've remembered Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
Ugh, awful.
She died of tuberculosis in 1825, shortly after persuading her husband not to let her ill health prevent him from setting off on another expedition to the Arctic. In 1825, he left for his second Canadian and third Arctic expedition. After reaching the Great Slave Lake... Oh, dear. Oh... I'm going to have to click and see why they called it...
I'm on there.
Why have they called it the Great
Slave? The lake shares its name with the Slavey First Nations.
Oh, all right then. So it's actually respectful.
Yeah. One of the Athapascan tribes living on its southern shores at the time.
After reaching the Great Slave Lake using the standard HBC route, Franklin took on a reconnaissance trip 1,000 miles down the Mackenzie, and on 16th of August 1825 became the second European to reach its mouth. In November 1828, he married Jane Griffin, a friend of his first wife and a seasoned traveller who proved indomitable in the course of their life together. Oh, I wonder if I'll ever be described as indomitable.
I don't know what that means.
So it's unlikely you'll ever describe me as it then. Impossible to subdue or defeat. Indomitable.
I'm indomitable.
Intolerable.
There you go.
In April 1829, he was knighted by George IV and the same year awarded the first gold medal of the Société de Géographie of France. On 25th of January 1836, he was made Knight Commander of the Royal Guelphic Order by King William IV. He was made a Knight of the Greek Order of the Redeemer as well.
Lovely.
Franklin was appointed Lieutenant Governor of Van Diemen's Land in 1836, but was removed from office in 1843. While Governor, he and his wife adopted Mathina, an Aboriginal girl who they took away from everything that she knew. In a good way or a bad way? That's not clear.
No.
Is he doing a good thing or a bad thing? Do I like him or hate
him for
this?
Well, he's taking her away from everything that she knew.
But is that because both of her parents died in a kangaroo attack? Because if that's the case, then that's quite nice to be taken away from that. But if her parents are fine and they've just thought that was, I'll have one of them, then that's not okay.
No, it's not.
I will just gentrify this youngster. Then that's not okay. I want to know more. When they went back to London, they left her in an orphanage. Probably bad. It's probably bad, actually. Even though she had family still alive. Yeah it's definitely bad. Yeah. I should have known. This is a British colonialist in Australia. Obviously, it's bad. He did not endear himself with the local civil servants, who particularly disliked his humane ideals and his attempts to reform the Tasmanian penal colony. Is he good or bad? I don't know what to think of this man. His wife, Jane, was quite liberated for a woman of her day. Known for roughing it to the extent that an expedition had to be mounted after she and Franklin were delayed in their crossing of the Tasmanian southwest wilderness. Such exploits further distanced the couple from proper society and may have contributed to Franklin's recall. Nonetheless, he was popular among the people of Tasmania. He is remembered by a significant landmark in the centre of Hobart. A statue of him dominates the park known as Franklin Square, which was the site of the original government house. On the plinth below the statue appears Tennyson's epitaph. Not here, the white north hath thy bones and thou, heroic sailor soul, art passing on thine happier voyage now toward no earthly pole. Not here, the white north hath thy bones and thou, heroic sailor soul, art passing on thine happier voyage now towards no earthly pole. Poetry's hard, isn't it? Isn't poetry hard? The Northwest Passage Expedition of 1845. The Franklin Expedition set sail from Greenhithe, England on the 19th of May 1845 with a crew of 24 officers and 110 men. The ships travelled north to Aberdeen and the Orkney Isles for supplies. From Scotland, the ship sailed to Greenland with the HMS Rattler and a transport ship, the Barretto Junior. After misjudging the location of Whitefish Bay, Disko Island, Greenland, the expedition backtracked and finally harboured in that far north outpost to prepare for rest of their voyage.
Did Captain Dance go to Disko Island? Is that something that happened?
No, I don't think so. Because I think we've left Captain Dance behind.
Because if that happens, that's the best thing.
That would be amazing. Five crew members were discharged and sent home on the Rattler and the Barretto Junior, reducing the ship's final crew size to 129. The expedition was last seen by Europeans on the 26th of July 1845 when Captain Dannett of the whaler Prince of Wales encountered Terror and Erebus moored to an iceberg in the Lancaster Sound. I've flown over Greenland
When I went to America, I went via Iceland one time, and that involved flying over Greenland. And it was the craziest thing I've ever seen, because it was like hours of the terrain just not changing without anything. It was just mental. Just this stony, rocky, kind of semi-mountainous expanse as far as you could see in every single direction, with just relentless. It was like being in space. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near that, especially in this kind of circumstance.
It is now believed that the expedition wintered in 1845 to 46 on Beachy Island. Terror and Erebus became trapped in ice off King William Island in September 1846 and never sailed again. According to a note later found on that island, Franklin died there on 11th of June 1847. To date, the exact location of his grave is unknown.
Ah.
So this is a crew of 129. After 2 years and no word from the expedition, Franklin's wife urged the Admiralty to send a search party. Because the crew carried supplies for 3 years, the Admiralty waited another year before launching a search and offering a £20,000 reward for finding the expedition. The money and Franklin's fame led to many searches. At one point, 10 British and 2 American ships, the USS Advance and USS Rescue, headed for the Arctic. Eventually, more ships and men were lost looking for Franklin than in the expedition itself. Jesus. Mm. So we've already lost 129, and then that many and more have died just looking for him.
Stop hanging around the Arctic.
There's a quite straightforward moral there, isn't there?
Ballads such as Lady Franklin's Lament, commemorating Lady Franklin's search for her lost husband, became popular. In the summer of 1850, expeditions including 3 from England as well as 1 from the United States joined in the search. They converged off the east coast of Beachy Island, where the first relics of the Franklin expedition were found, including the gravesites of 3 Franklin expedition crewmen. Franklin was presumed to still be alive by many and was promoted to Rear Admiral of the Blue. You can't give a man a promotion when you don't know where he is.
1852, though.
It was a different time.
It was.
In 1854, the Scottish explorer Dr. John Ray, while surveying the Boothia Peninsula for the Hudson's Bay Company, discovered the true fate of the Franklin party from talking to Inuit hunters. He was told both ships had become icebound. The men had tried to reach safety on foot but had succumbed to cold, and some had resorted to cannibalism.
It always comes back to cannibalism.
Doesn't it? That's the explorer's lot.
Yeah.
Ray's report to the Admiralty was leaked to the press, which led to widespread revulsion in Victorian society, which wasn't difficult to achieve, really, was it? Oh, piano leg! Oh!
That story's not true, but it's still very funny.
It is.
It enraged Franklin's widow and condemned Ray to ignominy. Lady Franklin's efforts to eulogise her husband with support from the British establishment led to a further 25 searches over the next 4 decades, none of which would add any further information of note.
40 years.
Wow. Probably resulted in a lot more dead people. Yeah.
In the mid-1980s, Owen Beattie, a University of Alberta professor of anthropology, began a 10-year series of scientific studies known as the 1845-48 Franklin Expedition Forensic Anthropology Project.
Catchy.
Showing that the Beachy Island crew had most likely died of pneumonia and perhaps tuberculosis. Toxicological reports indicated that lead poisoning was also a possible factor. In 1997, more than 140 years after Dr. Ray's report, his account was finally vindicated. Blade cut marks on the bones of some of the crew found on King William Island strongly suggested that conditions had become so dire that some crew members had resorted to cannibalism. It appeared from these studies that a combination of bad weather, years locked in ice, poisoned food, botulism, starvation, and disease, including scurvy, had killed everyone in the Franklin party. In October 2009, Robert Grenier, a senior marine archaeologist at Parks Canada, outlined recent discoveries of sheet metal and copper which have been recovered from a 19th century Inuit hunting site. Grenier firmly believes that these pieces of metal once belonged to the Terror and formed the protective plating of the ship's hull. In September 2014, the Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, announced that the wreck of the HMS Erebus, one of the 2 ships from Franklin's final voyage, had been rediscovered.
So,
take care. Take care in the Arctic.
Don't go exploring.
And if we heed that advice, then it's less likely that this episode will ever be broadcast.
Exactly.
Admittedly, the chances of Arctic death and cannibalism being the reason for the need of an emergency episode seems slight. But still.
You never know.
You never know.
Thank you for listening to our bonus emergency episode.
It's not bonus, it's an emergency.
This isn't necessarily a
good thing. This could be a very bad thing. Remember us fondly.
Thank you for listening to our emergency episode. We'll be back next week unless one of us is dead.
If one of us is dead, we'd have had a fortnight by now. So we'll be back by next week just with only two of us or with a third person.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely be back next week.
Okay,
Whatever's happened, we'll be back next week.
No matter what.
Maybe not all of us. So remember the missing person fondly.
Okay, if this is being broadcast, in inverted commas, because one of us is dead, we should really all have some last words each. Because this could be broadcast shortly after our death. It is the the last words anyone will ever hear you speak. Chris.
Okay. Sorry.
Phil?
It's hard, isn't it?
I was murdered by Jack. Avenge my death.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. My final words, David Cameron fucked a pig. Bye.
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 We were homeward bound one night in the deep. Swinging in my hammock, I fell asleep. I dreamt a dream and I thought it true, concerning Franklin and his gallant crew.
Something new, the Casper Slide Part 2, featuring the Platinum Band, and this time we're gonna get funky
to the frozen ocean in funky. The month of May.
Everybody clap your hands, clap, clap,
to
clap,
see
clap your hands,
a passage
clap,
around
clap,
the
clap,
pole.
Clap your hands. Alright, now we're gonna do the basic step to the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Right foot, let's start. Turn it out. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Right foot, let's stomp. Left foot, let's stomp. Cha-cha now, y'all. Last time to get funky. To the right now. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. One hop this time. Right foot, two stumps. Left foot, two stumps. Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Crisscross. Crisscross. Cha-cha real smooth. Let's go to work. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. Two hops this time. Two hops this time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.